Hi everyone, it's Roger and James here, fun on the What's on Disney Plus podcast. In this week's episode, we are going to be talking about all of the big Disney Plus news just days away from the launch of the new streaming service from Disney. We're going to be talking about Amazon, we'll be talking about European release, we'll be talking about all kinds of its pieces. James will be sharing his thoughts on the first episode of High School Musical, the series. And we've got tons of stuff to be going through this week. So before we go any further, just a little bit of housekeeping. So first off, big thank you to our Patreons at the Diamond level for all of their support. Really makes a massive difference to keeping the podcast going, especially with the upcoming looming COPA issues with YouTube. It means in the podcast is completely safe from any issues from that. So big thank you to Andrew, to Diane, to Julie, Russell. All of that really makes a massive difference to us being able to do this podcast without the risk of worrying about what YouTube's up to. And also just a bit of a thank you to you for all watching and listening, because we've actually been doing this podcast for over a year now. This is our 1 year anniversary of the podcast. I started the website well over a year ago. I actually started it nearly 18 months ago, but it had a different name at the time until I knew what the Disney Plus was going to be called. This has been planning for a long time. I can't believe we're actually at a point where Disney Plus is launching this week. Coming up, we can finally start talking about TV series and all of that kind of stuff. And yeah, it's just going to be amazing to see how we can kind of go on. You know, the site and everything has grown so much. We've got so many new viewers and listeners each week. And we just hit over 25,000 subscribers on YouTube yesterday. Our Facebook group just hit 40,000 members yesterday. The Facebook page is about to hit 50,000 today. You know, it's absolutely grown up and blown up. And I can't honestly thank everyone enough for that one. And obviously for James for putting up with me each week when we do this podcast.
It's a trial.
Yeah, it is a trial. My English wit. So I just want to say a big thank you to everyone that's been supporting us for the last year. And going forward, now we can actually talk about what's on Disney Plus, the new shows, doing our reviews and stuff and all of this bits and pieces. So that's where we're all going to be carrying on. Obviously, the YouTube channel will be giving you all the same news, all the trailers and stuff. Just because it's out doesn't mean that everything disappears. But that's the main thing we've been sort of counting down to this. So quick thing with the podcast, I'm going to be making a slight adjustment in how we perform it, where we'll be doing all of our reviews after we've done the news. We're going to move that back a bit because now we've actually got stuff to talk about. So nevertheless, let's jump into the news. And the big news really was Disney announced during their financial quarter that they have done a deal with Amazon, Samsung and LG for the launch of Disney Plus. And yes, this couldn't have come quicker. Why they had to wait to the last minute, I don't know. But this was just fantastic news. I think if you saw what comments were coming in on the Facebook group and on the YouTube channel, this was a major issue. And I'm sure Disney were getting just as much comments about, because apparently a third of the US audience were using Amazon. This was a massive deal for them.
Yeah, we knew it had to happen. It was just a matter of making it happen. I'm curious how long before the announcement they actually had it, or if they wanted to save it as a bombshell last second thing. But as a Amazon Fire tablet owner myself, mm-hmm. I am very happy that I'm not going to have to do any homebrew hacking solution to get Disney Plus on my tablet, particularly because I have a trip coming up in December and it would be really great to download a couple of episodes onto that tablet for the plane ride.
You just reminded me. That's a very good idea. for my upcoming trip as well. I hadn't even thought about that, but yeah, I might even do that because I have a Fire Stick as well. That's that I use. I've been using it for Disney Life. The only reason I brought it was for Disney Life. So that's going to be good to be able to use that one. I mean, once Disney Plus officially launches in the UK and stuff, which we'll get into later, I'll be using my devices like the PlayStation because it's in 4K, etc. But nevertheless, the fact that it's on Amazon devices, so that's the Fire tablets, Fire Stick, they'll all be available for launch. Samsung TVs, LG TVs, which is good because I got an LG TV. There might be some of the older versions might not be accessible. We don't really know too much either about how much is going to be available on this. But even this past week, Netflix announced that they were stopping support for some older Samsung television. So this isn't this is going to be an issue going forward constantly with devices. Very much learned in the last like few months, really, from like listening to like cord cutters and being in the cord cutting communities about the fact that they're all very much kind of going on the lines of, don't use your smart TV, use the user boxes because you can upgrade them quicker. They're cheaper to upgrade. Don't become reliant. I think that whole thing of buying a smart TV where it's all integrated sounds great until 3 years later when suddenly they stop supporting them, when you can, your little box A is supported a bit longer, but also you can replace for like 40 to 50 bucks, whereas your TV is like 500. It's something I've very much been aware of within that cord cutting community. The smart TVs are great when you buy them, but they aren't very good long term. Seems to be they're like the first ones to be cut.
Yeah, and I would say I'd kind of do like a slightly modified version of that advice, which is go ahead and use your smart TV if it's currently supported. No reason to spend extra money on a new device if your TV does support what you need to watch: Netflix, Amazon Prime, Disney Plus, CBS, HBO Max, whatever. But if your television is getting older, and by older we mean 2-3 years, which doesn't feel old, whatever, technology is moving really fast. At that point, rather than replacing the TV, provided it's still working fine, go ahead and buy a Chromecast or a Fire Stick instead of replacing the TV outright. Unless you have crazy amounts of cash, and I'm not going to tell you what to do with your crazy amounts.
No, I mean, I've had to do it with the WWE Network. It stopped working on my LG TV. I now have to watch it on my Xbox or PlayStation. I got it installed on both of them. It was always easier when it was on the television. Now I know I can't use the app. It just freezes on the login screen. So I always use the Xbox. It's just become standard thing, and it's just going to be that way, probably with Disney Life. It depends really on, for me, it's like, I'm wondering if the 4K might be better running through the console than on the television, which is a 4K TV, but it might run a bit smoother on that. So, but the fact that it's all on there for launch, great news, really going to, it's going to boost up Disney knowing, because the amount of people that were saying, not on my Fire Stick, I'm not buying it. You know, they're not buying it. They've also seen a number of people go, damn it, my Roku box has just arrived that I ordered because I wanted it for... It's like, well, yeah, send it back or try it out. But yeah, it's going to be a thing to do. So definitely good news for all those device owners. This is a great way of kicking off kind of their financial results.
Absolutely. And if you did go out and buy a Roku or something, I will actually say I think the best one on the market is the Roku. But the convenience of the Chromecast and the Fire Stick are higher. And it's just more proof that if you make it convenient, such as having it on an Amazon device... Mm-hmm. People are willing to go for it rather than maybe extra legal ways of doing it instead. As long as it's easy, people will normally go with the legal.
And I think this is one of the biggest problems that they had with Disney Life over here in the UK was the device support was awful. It wasn't on PlayStation. It wasn't on Xbox. It wasn't really on hardly any, wasn't on LG TVs. It was really difficult to find, a lot of the big things I had. It's like, I've got three streaming devices, or four, including the Switch. It wasn't on one of them. And I specifically had to buy a Fire Stick on a Black Friday deal just to be able to use it. And I've got, not everyone's going to do that. That would have been enough to put, and that's probably why the subscribers were so low. But it didn't help having it. So this is the thing going forward. I'm really, really happy for everyone that's got an Amazon. As I said, we use Amazon ourselves, so it's going to be a lot easier. So let's jump now into the other big news, was the Western Europe rollout for Disney Plus, which has been confirmed now for March 31st for the UK, Ireland. You've got Italy, Germany, Spain, all included in that one there. And it did say, and more to be announced. So if you're in Portugal, if you're in Norway, or if you're in Iceland, we don't yet know what other countries are going to be involved in it. They're probably working out the issues. This was like, for me, it was a little bit like good news, bad news, expected news. I was really hoping during that financial results that they were going to announce this because they needed to get this out there. I was wondering if they were going to get it out there before the launch. I was kind of thinking if they were going to do it, it was going to be them, because another 3 months would be too late. I'm glad it's out there. It means now that when everyone and anyone posts a story, there won't be loads of us Brits going in there going, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? If you look on any of the official social media posts, that is all you'll see is Brits going, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Because the trouble is, and this is the thing, and I do think the UK is in a slightly different market, of we are seeing all of the adverts on the internet, we're seeing them all on YouTube, and we're an English speaking country, and we're the only, we do speak English. it's that kind of thing of, we are seeing all these adverts, and therefore it's much more aware for us, if it's in France or something like that, it's at least in a different language and things. But England is, and also now with technically Disney, they're a lot quicker at getting everything out quicker. So I do think that was a little bit of a difference. I'm glad that it's out there. It's a shame that we've got that 5-month wait. All I'm going to say is, if you really want to watch The Mandalorian and things like that, you're going to have to use alternative methods, maybe such as a VPN to kind of get around it to do it legally. I'll be honest, I'd much rather everyone did that and pay Disney to access it from a US or a European or an Australian account than pirating it. I'm just being honest. I do think it's a mistake from Disney. They are going to have this issue. I was hoping that maybe The Mandalorian might be put somewhere, but I'd rather you pay Disney for it than not.
Right.
It's just one of those things. It's a bit of a grey loophole, but to me, it's like, there's millions of us fans in Europe that want to watch it, and watching it legally and paying Disney for it, to me, sounds a much better idea than trying to pirate it. And people will be doing it. They've opened the door up for Europe for doing this, and Latin America is just as bad.
Like I said, convenience is really what people are after, and if piracy is the most convenient way, then that's the way people are going to go. Keep in mind, we don't work for Disney. So when we say we would prefer Disney get paid, that's because we want them to get their money to make content. We don't get any kickbacks at all from them at this point.
It's that thing really of Disney, if they don't get paid for the shows, they're not going to make them. And it's that kind of thing of, it's $6 a month. You only have to subscribe for the monthly system. But just nevertheless, it is annoyance for everyone outside of those countries that have been announced. And I just think there's that kind of thing. There's no point sugarcoating around it. We might as well just address it straight on and just be like, that's what people are going to be doing. And it is good. It's a massive annoyance because people should be able to get on there and see it. I do not understand for one reason why Disney Life in the UK does not have those Disney Plus shows, because they've got a streaming service already. But there are probably legal reasons. There are complicated issues with Sky. There's some contracts that we don't know what the deals are. They might not be allowed to put any original stuff on them. That might be in the contract of running this device system of Disney Life because of the deals with Sky. But Sky deals, that's been an issue right across Europe, of existing stuff being on there and what they've got licensing to and things like that. They all probably expire in 2020, and therefore that's why we're getting it in March. But it's great to have that date. At least now we've kind of got a definite answer. I'm hoping we get that Latin America one, but that one won't be, I don't think, until maybe October, November, because they just signed that one-year deal with Amazon for all their content a couple of weeks ago. So Latin America is probably going to be well into late 2020, and Asia, they've not really said much about that either.
All of it, we have to assume Amazon, or not Amazon, Disney wants their app in all these locations, China, Japan, Latin America, the UK. It doesn't make any sense for it to not be in the UK. As you said, we both speak the same language. We just spell things a little bit differently for the most part. So it's got to be legal reasons why it's not. Yeah, you've got your superfluous use, color and armor and all that. But I'd have to assume it's legal. I did want to add on, just going back a little bit here, VPNs, that there are many good reasons to have a VPN, not just to access Disney Plus or Netflix content. Just be very, very careful about what VPN companies you use. Just do your research on them, because there are some shady VPNs. You think you're protecting yourself, and they're actually mining your data even worse than other companies. So just be careful.
Definitely do a little bit of research. And also, as well, you're going to have to try them out when Disney Plus launches. We're going to have to see which ones work, which ones don't, because it's not that easy. Access fella, like the Netherlands, has been really tricky. They really were cramping down on how much you could access it. So there might have been a different reason why they were doing that. But generally, make it, see if you can do the trials and stuff. Unfortunately, or you're going to have to just wait. And that's what probably saying 99% of people will just wait. But there will be some people that want to do it, and that's ultimately just the way it's going to be for Disney Plus. But nevertheless, great to kind of have two big announcements, loads of questions. I did put up an article earlier this week, like the 10 most unanswered questions. Three of them have been at least been kind of revealed this week. So we know the Amazon one. We know now the European release one. They've also let me know that they are at least emailing press and stuff with information for the next week or two of what's coming up to Disney Plus as well. So we'll be able to pass that information on to you when that all comes into you. So it's definitely good, the fact of, you know, they're starting to get it out there. There's still issues that are hopefully will get resolved next week, such as how quickly new shows from like Disney Channel and National Geographic get put onto Disney Plus. We don't know what that's going to be yet, how that's all going to work, how quickly the turnaround is going to be. They have been removing stuff from things like Disney Now and off of Hulu, and they have been stripping things. You know, they've been closing down apps, they've been closing all kinds of stuff down. So they have been moving some of the content around a bit.
True. And keeping in mind, it's not just moving the Disney content around. They've also been talking about where the Fox content, the FX content go. I know there was an article, might have been even yesterday, where they were talking about, they confirmed that the FX stuff is going to Hulu, things like that. So yeah. They're just shuffling the entire board around. Nothing unexpected, though, really. This is, if you're paying even the smallest amount of attention, you kind of go, yeah, Disney Plus is going to get the Disney stuff. Mm. Hulu will get the more mature stuff, the FX stuff. And no surprises here.
Searchlight are creating shows and movies for Hulu. FX are creating like 4 TV series for Hulu. They've now said basically the entire library is going to there in March. They're definitely going down that line of like, make that clear. It was interesting. It was like, for example, the Little Mermaid live that was on ABC this week didn't appear on Hulu, because we know it's coming to Disney Plus. But you know that, and I even asked, there were some new Disney holiday specials that were announced for ABC and stuff like that. And I've asked Disney, and they replied back saying that they're going to let me know. And there's that kind of thing of, they've not really, you know, there were some press releases from National Geographic, and they're still saying coming in 146 countries and all, but they're still not putting on there exactly when all this new stuff is coming on there. So they're either working that all out or waiting to the last minute to kind of maybe do that as an announcement, which wouldn't surprise me. But we've only got one more really like working day before Disney Plus launches on the Monday. So it's definitely be interesting to see what goes on with all of that. It definitely looks like Friday is the big day for release dates, because they also confirmed that Avengers Endgame is going to be available at launch on November the 12th. Great news for Avenger fans. I mean, that really helps boost out that launch library of movies, because now we're getting that with Dumbo and also Captain Marvel. It's moved up because back at the investors call back in May, they announced that it'll be coming on December the 11th, which was just a Wednesday. And it definitely looks like they've changed to Fridays, but they've also they've moved that one forward. I thought that was a good move.
Yeah, definitely a good move. I don't know what they had to do to get that to happen, but I'm glad they will. We'll have it. Endgame is a major launch title for them to have. But remind me, is Infinity War going to be on the launch?
No, it won't be on at launch in most countries. It will be on, it's on available on the Netherlands one, but it won't be on the US ones for at least probably another year. I think it's still on Netflix, so it's going to go roll through its entire Netflix run before it can be moved on to. And that's going to be the thing really with Ant-Man and the Wasp, Black Panther, all those kind of things. Thor Ragnarok will be the next one to leave Netflix. That leaves at the end of November. So that kind of, anything after Thor Ragnarok will still be on Netflix.
Except for Endgame.
Yeah. So we've got a while. Hopefully as well, that might mean as well we get the other ones a bit earlier. So maybe things like Aladdin might be able to move up. Depends on how the system's going to work, whether or not it's going to be 6 months or so after cinema release. But I was kind of, there was a number of other questions that led into. But because it's like, they've got to spread this stuff out. It's like, yeah, but they still got Aladdin. You know, if they went for Aladdin in December, Toy Story in January, and then Lion King in February, that's three big movies for the winter months.
Oh, absolutely. The lineup just gets better and better over time. So
that was definitely a good thing. Also, this was came in through WDWNT, whereas apparently Disney cast members are being offered from January, they're going to be offered the option of picking to pick up the bundle with Hulu, ESPN Plus, and also Disney Plus. They'll be offered that one there. The alternative is that they get the choose between that or like this main gate entry fee to the theme parks, where they can give it to their friends and family, or whether or not they want to go to the parks. Disney will still allow them to go into the parks free. You know, that doesn't change, and they will still get the offer of complimentary passes. But there's just like, they are going to be offered the choice between this or that. A lot of people are going, well, why would you make more money with save more money with friends and family going to the parks? But if you maybe live in Idaho or you're at a Disney store, maybe they're out there in Colorado, might not be quite as useful to you. So maybe a streaming network will be a lot more use. So yeah, if you live in Orlando, might not be the best thing for you, but not everyone, you know, there are cast members working all over the place. You know, if you're in New York or something like that, you might be thinking, actually, no, I can save 155 quid a year on having the full streaming bundle because, well, my family can pay for themselves. I'm saving some money.
I mean, it also depends. Even if you are a Florida or Anaheim resident, your family might not be. So yeah, they might only come down like once or twice a year at most. And it's entirely possible that all of your friends are already cast members, in which case, who are you going to use the tickets on? It's going to be case by case. I think that's more of a fringe case, obviously. Yeah. Most people are going to have people that they could justify continuing to get the tickets rather than Disney Plus. But it's great that the option is there.
I think there's still like little part of it. I think, and you can read it in the comments on it, and it's all very much on the lines of Disney are rich enough, they should just give it to the staff anyway. It's like, yeah, staff bonuses are nice. I mean, I personally would have thought that was a good option to do that, to get staff, at least to get, because some Disney, just people that work for Disney don't necessarily automatically embrace themselves in the full Disney experience. Some of them, they go get up in the morning, they go to work, they will do the job, and then they come home and then they do something else. You know, just because you work at Disney doesn't necessarily mean that you're going there every weekend and watching all the movies and stuff like you do with your jobs. You know, do we all go down to our workplaces and sit there on our days off? Probably not.
I have had a job in the past where I've done that. I worked at a comic shop and I would go into the shop even on days when I wasn't working. But yeah, no, I work a corporate job now, and I definitely do not give them any of my time when I am not on the clock.
No. So, but yeah, just remember that. Yeah, because I think sometimes people glamorize the Disney jobs a little bit more of like, yeah, you know, if you're a janitor at a Disney store, you might not necessarily be completely wanting to be Disney bounding and all that.
But it does take all kinds. Yeah. And we know for a fact that there are a lot of people who work at the parks who are there specifically because they love Disney so much that they want to be part of it all the time. Yeah. And again, there are people who just treat it as a job. It is their 9 to 5 or whatever hours they work. And when they are not there, they are not there at all.
I mean, you've got the movies, you've got the TV companies, you've got the Disney stores, you've got the cruise lines, you've got the adventure things. You know, there's a lot of sections and stuff. But I think a lot of the thing would be the idea. It'd be a nice perk, but they don't have to give any perks. Remember that.
No, they don't have to give any perks. I will say though, for my job, what keeps me at my job, other than the people I work with who are awesome, the perks make a big difference when you're looking, do I want to stay at this job? Do I want to maybe start feeling out what's out there? Because the perks, you know, they can be that point that sways you into like, actually my company gives me a lot of really cool stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not worth the risk of moving to another company that does not offer the same perks, or, you know, I might end up on a team of people who just don't personality gel with them or whatever. So it does make a big difference. And I have to admit, I do agree with people being like, Disney makes enough money. They can throw some free perks here.
So that's good. Also, just a quick thing, also following on from that UK story, was Disney Life is being rebranded at Disney Plus. That was confirmed on social media by the Disney team. I forgot that on there. They did say that it'll be rebranded and they will be letting customers know about what's happening, what they have to do with their accounts, because you actually log into Disney Life with your Disney ID. And so it's all kind of interconnected anyway. So it's good to know that at least now Disney Plus is officially becoming Disney Plus Life, so that's all good. Couple of other bits and pieces. As I said, we've got those free holiday specials coming to ABC and the Disney Channel and stuff soon, so hopefully they'll be coming to Disney Plus. A lot of talk this week, obviously, with the investors call of just generally like numbers and bits and pieces that there didn't really seem to be too much more of than the Amazon and the European release. There was a couple of other things that came out early in the week. The Big Fib is coming to Disney Plus. This is a new quiz show, 30 minutes long. That sounds like an interesting like show where they basically get the adults to fib and the kids have to work out if they're doing right or wrong kind of thing. Simple stuff. Quiz shows, you can't go wrong, and they're nice and cheap to make.
Quiz show, it reminds me of a really old show, which was they'd bring some people on and the person would tell something fantastic about their life, and you'd have to figure out if they were lying or not. It was actually part of Catch Me If You Can, the movie with Leonardo DiCaprio and Tom Hanks. And I think also it's good for kids, particularly younger kids, to start kind of learning the skills for detecting lies in just about any form. So yeah, I think this is going to be a lot of fun. And I do love game shows in general, so I'll check this one out.
Yeah, it's they're really kind of filling out the lineup of what they're offering, and you know, it makes sense for them to kind of offer some different kind of content. Again, 30 episodes. Well, if we get one episode a week, that is most of the year covered. So that's good from that one. Apparently, as well, they're working on a new Mighty Ducks series. This one's been floating around for years, but apparently this one is going forward for Disney Plus. This new series will focus on a 13-year-old boy before he gets kicked off the junior division of Mighty Ducks. His mum decides to start their own team, finding players, a coach, and a place to play. So it's going to be kind of where that one's going on ABC, and filming starts in January on that one.
That could be interesting. I kind of like the idea of making the Ducks into the antagonist role, kind of taking over the Hawks from the movie. Obviously, we'll wait to see how it's done, if they bring back any of the original cast, anything like that. But
they did they've done some bits and pieces with Disney earlier this year, so I wouldn't be at all surprised.
I hope so. It'd be kind of fun. The first Mighty Ducks, at least, was a really good movie. 2 and 3 kind of drifted off. And then, of course, the animated series, which has absolutely nothing to do with the movies whatsoever and has actual ducks playing hockey.
Yeah, well, you know, why would you not want anything else than that?
I think I've
seen the first movie, but I don't really remember. The Mighty Ducks weren't, again, sports movies, 90s,
right?
Me as a kid, didn't really go together.
You know, this goes with our conversation last week about sports movies. You know, it was the hockey that got me in the door because I'm a big hockey fan. But the first Mighty Ducks at least had a solid story that worked just well. You know, the underdogs, underprivileged, teaming up with this hotshot lawyer who has to do community service. It was a very good character study. It was a very good underdog story. Worked just fine. You could have swapped out the hockey for any sport in the world. It could have been a wrestling story. It could have been for some people it would have been, and that's fine.
But no, it's good. Again, just more stuff. More things coming to Disney Plus, the more we need, the more we want. That's the system. They know that they've got to put series after series after series on here, and until they start, you know, I think it'll get to that point. Hopefully, when they get to the thing of they've got too many episodes to drop on the Friday, they might start dribbling them out a bit. But yeah, they need more stuff, and Mighty Ducks has got some brand value behind it, so that will be good. Also, a little bit of interesting news was, apparently, in order for Disney to get access to a number of movies from Stars, for things like Star Wars, The Force Awakens, they agreed to a system where when you sign up for Disney Plus at launch, so you're going to see a single advert on the page for Stars. You're not going to see any more adverts once you've signed into Disney Plus, but there's not even going to be a commercial. It's just like a banner advert. And it's really kind of caught everyone's attention of like, you got a load of people, they're going, well, one banner? Yeah, and what? And then the other one, no, they can't be. This is just a start. It's like, well, there must have been an agreement. You know, sometimes companies have to do stuff they don't want to do when they negotiate. You know, we could log in and we get free adverts for Netflix as well. But generally, yeah, I mean, this was a bit of an odd one. It definitely feels like, sort of from Star's point of view, kind of looking and going, why? If you're doing it at startup, the people are going to be so excited to get in and see what the things, they're going to be flicking through those buttons so quick, they're not even going to see it. Oh, there's another streaming service. Let's sign up for that one as well, shall we? I don't know. It just seems a really odd placement.
There must have been some backroom deal, because this does not seem like Starz got a particularly good deal out of this, but we don't know the particulars. I will say the biggest thing that's come out of this are all the clickbait headlines. There will be an ad in Disney. There will be ads in Disney Plus. I'm like, no, there is an ad that you will only see at registration if you have not already registered.
Yeah. Yeah. I must, because I put in the, like, the headline of the article was to feature a single Starz advert upon sign up. Yeah, very much kind of like, let's not get,
But my news feed, my phone will give me news that it thinks I'm interested in, which is, of course, a lot of Disney stuff.
Yeah.
And there were so many headlines. Disney Plus will have ads. I'm like, that's so disingenuous. It's not accurate. Now, I will agree with the general idea that one ad could turn into many ads down the road. You know, Disney may look at this and go, oh, well, the Starz ad seemed okay, so let's start experimenting with more. Even if they do that, I don't see it happening for quite some time. And to be honest, I don't really see it happening. They know how important an ad-free streaming environment is. Yeah. And actually, we're going to come back to this at the end, because I have some thoughts on this when we talk about High School, the musical, the series. So let's kind of put a pin in that one and we'll come back to it.
Yeah. Lots of videos coming up this week that I've been putting out. There's lots of interviews. The PR spin is really kind of getting up around those kind of launch titles, which look great. We've got lots of them coming out. Also, it was confirmed that Disney Plus won't have a rotating slate of content, which basically means we're not going to be doing the what's leaving Disney Plus this week. Because everything going on there will stay on there. There is that caveat obviously around the stuff from 2016 to 2018, which may or may not have to leave. But generally, it goes onto Disney Plus and it will stay there. I kind of knew this, but it was, I think the fact that they actually confirmed it to comicbook.com was definitely a good thing going forward.
Yeah, and it makes sense, because, you know, you look at Netflix and they have stuff that rotates out all the time, but that's because they have agreements with the content providers.
Yeah.
Disney is their own content provider. They don't need to worry about the contract expiring at this point, other than the ones you mentioned between 2016 and 2018, but that's from previous deals. Anything past that point, they're not going to wake up and go one day, hey, you know what would be great? Let's just take the 3 Iron Man movies off the list for now, and we'll put them back later. They're not treating this like the Vault, and they shouldn't. In fact, they should just get rid of the Vault now that they have Disney Plus. But that's a whole different debate.
Well, I think I read that they've even, like, the idea of like even like re-releasing some of the classics have kind of gone out the window, because they know that the audience have changed. They're on the Vault system worked when it's worked for years, but it doesn't work in 21st century. It doesn't, you know, the idea of taking something away and making it more desirable to bring it back doesn't work, because everyone is
not on digital media anyway. Yeah. If everything was still physical, okay, sure. It creates a collector's market. That's what happened with DVDs. Yeah. I remember trying to watch Beauty and the Beast a number of years ago and being like, oh, I'll just pick it up off. I have to pay how much for Beauty and the Beast? Because it was in the Vault at the time. But nowadays, you know, if someone goes, oh, I can't see Beauty and the Beast because it's in the Vault, well, yar har har, we're going pirating right now. Yeah. So,
well, the thing is weird though, because like in the UK, you'd go into the stores and you'd see this massive display. I saw it when we were at Christmas shopping the other day. Now, we have had like all the classics available to buy for years. They're priced at £7 each. They've been like that for years. You go in and you pick them up and you go. They kind of stopped that whole thing here. Because they don't really even release all the signature collections over here. They're just available. I could go in now and buy, I think most of them are available in my local supermarket, because that value just wasn't there. I mean, it was a bit sad, because I was walking around the high street, because there was like one shop selling movies. And I looked at them, Avengers Endgame. No, I can watch that next week. It was just like, no, I'm not going to buy it. I can get it next week. And then it's like, you're walking around and you're seeing just piles of DVDs near the counters, near the shops, at the tills, near the suites and stuff, and it's like just jumbled together. It's like the value, they used to be everywhere. They used to be all over the place in the shops, you know, the massive aisles, and like now they're literally just something shoved near the front of the tills, and you might pick one up if they've got it in, whatever this week's big release is, it's just shoved the, you know, they've not even got the Blu-rays out. It just feels like, now you can tell that, you know, when I was at college, there was 7 or 8 stores in the high street selling discs, and there were massive stores full of discs. Now there's one store that's nearly about to go bankrupt again. They've already gone bankrupt twice. Is that kind of, there's, and once that one goes, there'll be nowhere in the high street where I went to actually buy like Captain Marvel on Blu-ray.
I haven't even seen a dedicated movie store in a very long time, except for maybe like a used bookstore, which also deals in movies. But even then, they're probably more art housey movies and stuff like that.
Does Walmart have? Do they have like? Is their section got smaller now over the years?
Well, that was what I was going to say next. So I used to do majority of my movie shopping at Best Buy or Target. Best Buy used to have row upon row upon row of DVD Blu-ray displays, literally broken down. Here's the Disney only section. Here's the kids that are not Disney. Here's the action movies, the horror movies, the sci-fi movies, the Steelbook special editions, the Japanese movies, whatever. My Best Buy now has one aisle of movies, and it's only a half aisle, so it's not even a full length aisle. And then like two islands that look like old comic book displays, where it's kind of like a square, and they're on each side of that. They hold maybe 100 movies each. Yeah. I mean, multiple copies of each movie, but like 100 different titles, give or take.
Yeah, it's massive, and that's why they know that things are changing, and they know they've got to speed it up and stuff. But you know, it's just interesting to see kind of how that's all kind of coming into effect. And I think, you know, Disney. I mean, I didn't buy Captain Marvel either because it was like it came out like, I've only got like a month till Disney Plus. It's like, yeah, I mean, just don't need to bother with it all.
It's not just Disney Plus. If you do want a physical disc, Black Friday is right around the corner, and most people are going to be waiting for that too.
Yeah, and I was just like, this 4K editions were like $25. I ain't paying that. I'm not paying that. I'm like, I can watch the 4K version at home, and you know, that's fine for me.
I will be picking up at some point the 4K versions of the remaining Marvel Cinematic movies that I don't own in 4K.
Yeah.
The primary reason for that, though, is I have a data cap, and 4K streaming rips through that data cap like crazy. Yeah. And two, it's also just more convenient for me to have the actual disc on stuff I know I'm going to watch multiple times. Disney Plus, Netflix, Amazon Prime, great for, you know, the one-off movie, maybe even like a couple of watchings on a movie. But if I know I'm going to watch it more than a handful of times, it's just more convenient for me to have it.
It is funny because I think like here in the UK, we don't tend to have data caps. Maybe if you've got like the really, really basic, I think my mum had one on her account that I was like, no, we need to get you higher than this because you're going to get with you. If you're just Netflix, you're going to go for it. But I mean, I've never had a data cap on my internet ever. So we've always had unlimited. So that's never really been a thing that we've had to worry about. So I know it is a big issue going forward in the US, but those data caps, they're going to keep having to push them up as streaming, you know, I mean, the amount of talk there is of how much people are dropping cable television and streaming, you can see how, you know, they're going to have to adjust that data cap.
They should have adjusted it already, to be honest. That a family of 3 or 4 will rip through a terabyte data cap in a month, no problem. I mean, by myself, streaming only for myself, I already go through probably 50 to 66% of my data cap per month without trying. If I had another person living with me that we would watch separately, I'd be paying the penalty every month. That data cap should have been increased a long time ago. And with 4K right around the corner, 4K streaming right around the corner as being prolific, it's untenable.
Yeah. But no, it's definitely going to be interesting going forward of how that's all going to work out for everyone. So I think that pretty much wraps up the main bits of news from this week. But we did have a trailer drop for Pixar's Soul, which is going to be coming out in cinemas in June. So it could be maybe Christmas 2020, probably more likely like early 2021 on Disney Plus. So what was your initial thoughts of that trailer?
Oh, joy, another movie about music. I know that's not going to be most people's reactions, but we talked about this when Coco came, was not yet out a couple of years ago on the Diz Kingdom podcast. Movies about music just don't do anything for me. I don't, the magic of music just doesn't do anything for me. So this is not.
Yeah. Cause you mentioned the music part of it and I'm like going, huh, what? And then I was like, oh yeah, he was a musician. And I just took kind of like almost like that's just like his job. I didn't even think about the movie being musical based or anything like that. I just thought of it and went, oh, it's kind of like a weird looking Inside Out with weird looking ghosts. It was a bit of an, the music side of things I didn't really pick up on that being a major theme.
But it's like a critical element of his character.
Yeah.
You know, like when we're introduced to him, it's as a pianist, it's at a jazz bar. You know, I get the feeling that this journey he's going to have with the little kid ghost is really going to be about finding that artistic side of the kid, which is going to involve him exploring his artistic side, which is of course music. Mm. It's Pixar. Mm. I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt, but I'm not particularly excited about this.
It did not feel like there was a buzz. It didn't. My news feed didn't, you know, like full of Disney fans and Twitter and all. It didn't seem to blow up. It didn't seem to, there wasn't lots of, you know, people going, oh, here we go. Oh, this is going to be amazing. It's like, it was a bit of like a crickets. It was really weird. I mean, this might be one of those things that when we see the full trailer, it might sell us a bit more on what's going on. But there was a lot of kind of like, oh, they're kind of just doing like Inside Out again. It was this, it's a bit of an, it might, I mean, at the minute, it's just a teaser trailer, so we don't really know. But I saw it and went, oh, that looks okay. I'll watch it. But there was none of that kind of like, oh my God, that looks amazing. I have to see. It was a bit like, oh, we've kind of done this kind of before-ish, kind of, but maybe not. It's, I don't know, it just didn't kind of just jump off to me.
Yeah, I will say the technical side of it looked amazing. You know, the people walking in the streets, the way that they have everything animated and just all the technical details looked amazing. But we did have the same basic reaction to that other movie, which I'm totally blanking on the name, but with the one with Chris Pratt and the dragons and stuff in a modern urban society. It's the next Pixar movie. I can't remember the name of it, which is obviously
Onward.
That one, Onward. Yeah. When we first saw the teaser trailer for that, not the actual trailer, but the teaser trailer, we're like, this is just Monsters Incorporated with Shrek. But then the actual trailer that we got not that long ago, we're like, oh, okay, now I know where they're going with this. This looks a lot better. I suspect it'll be the same thing here.
Yeah, I'm willing to give. I mean, it's Pixar, so they just get a free ride for it. But it generally, I was quite surprised it didn't really kind of grab the. I'll be honest, I think they probably should have held off for this, but they should have got this out before. The Disney have got so much news going on with Disney Plus. Kind of, it feels a little bit like that got lost in the shuffle. I think they might have been better off holding off until like 2 weeks time, or just dropping it maybe during Frozen or something like that. I mean, there's been a lot of buzz around Frozen this week. You've got Le Mans out as well at cinemas. You've got all these different ones. Was it Ford versus Ferrari, I think you guys call it, over there in the US. We've got the French night title for it. But
Is that out this week? I actually kind of want to see that one.
Yeah, that one looks good with Matt Damon and Christian Bale. So that, again?
It's next week. It's actually on the 15th. So it'll be after Disney Plus launch.
Yeah, so that would be something, I mean, again, the Fox movies are going to be, they'll be years before we start seeing them properly turning up onto Disney Plus, if they go there, or Hulu, depends on it. But yeah, just like I said, there's a lot going on. Disney are like firing on a number of different cylinders, and you can see all the PR people are all like trying to jump around a bit, but it does feel a little bit like in their movies section and TV ones, they're trying to put out too much at the same time. I think maybe, because let's be honest, Soul, they could have left that another month, and I don't think anyone would have really have noticed. Loving anyone,
just attach it to the front of Frozen 2. That's it. That's all you need to get the word out. I suspect actually we will hear more about it when Frozen 2 comes out, presuming it's attached to that, because that's when most people will be exposed to it for the first time.
So there we go. So that is all of the news for this week. So now let's get into what we've been watching. Now, the big thing really was High School Musical, the musical, the series was on Freeform ABC and Disney Channels a few days early. I haven't seen it because, well, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning when it aired in the US, and you know, I was already up 5 o'clock to do the podcast, so haven't seen it yet. But James, you did. So what was your thoughts of the first episode?
So a couple of caveats. You just heard me talk about the magic of music. This is not that kind of show. I don't classify it the same way. I'm in a different mindset for that. So don't think I'm coming into it with that. Also, more obviously, we are not the target audience for this at all. So keep that in mind with this. That said, I think that the target audience will find plenty to love here. Mm-hmm. There were some good songs, some that were rehashes from the movie, I gather. I haven't seen the movie, any of them. But at least one of them is from that. There's at least one original song in it. They were both fine, provided that you are perfectly okay with obviously auto-tuned or dubbed over music for the kids. Again, that's part of the deal. Glee is the same way, all the other Pitch Perfect, that series of movies as well, stuff like that. The story is exactly what you expect it to be. I will say I have zero sympathy for the main character. Like, it's typical. I'm not going to, no spoilers. Yeah. Don't worry. We're not going to go spoilers.
Well, I think the love triangle was a main thing of the trailer, really.
and it's here.
Yeah.
And I'll have a couple of thoughts on this, but the main one is I have zero sympathy for the main character in this one, because his portion of the love triangle and his problems as a result of it are completely his fault. 100%. The other guy and the woman.
Yeah.
Nope. They're actually completely fine. They're rationally off on the other side, just having their relationship. And this dude's like, but this should be me. It's like, yeah, but it's not you, and it's entirely your fault. So be quiet. We know where the arc is going. Again, no spoilers, but the other male part of the triangle, the boyfriend, is way too perfect right now. So I'm fully expecting there's going to be a heel turn on that at some point
apparently there was a thing with him of that they wanted to portray him. They didn't want to do the love triangle where the other guy was like, there was an issue that I think they wanted to do it this way, where the other guy was just as nice. So therefore it wasn't so much like, oh, he's a bad egg and all the rest of it. He's like, no, he's actually supposed to be kind of,
but I'm a little skeptical because they build him up as so perfect in the first episode. I'm like, wow, he's really supportive of her. He's giving nothing but good comments and, you know, like everything that you would want a boyfriend to be, especially as a high schooler. Like, there has to be a heel turn coming at some point, because otherwise I'd be sitting here, I would literally watch the entire series going, no, keep them together. Main character, go find your own, find someone else, because they're perfect together. So typical teenage drama stuff. Music's fine. There's no choreographed dance sequences in this particular episode, but you can certainly expect those coming up.
Yeah, I think in the trailer it looks like they leave them for like when they're rehearsing, and when it's kind of like, I would almost say it looks like they're gonna do them like where you should be expecting like real dance stuff, rather than when we're all just in the supermarket and we suddenly all just randomly break into real life. I mean, have you not done that when you quite often you just jump into somebody else's, you know, like musical
all the time?
And I mean, in the right time, like you did.
I mean, I live in Colorado. Just things happen. You're walking down the street, and all of a sudden, someone starts singing some Queen, and before you know it, got Bohemian Rhapsody right there on 16th Street. No problem. But yeah, a couple of final thoughts. The story is what you'd expect, which is perfectly fine. You're not really here for the story. In terms of characters, I really like the principal. He's only got like three lines in the entire show, but he is my favorite character by far. And then we'll come to my last complaint, which is that the person they're setting up as the villain of the series, in as much as there is a villain, is a STEM teacher. And he's identified as a STEM teacher. It's not like he's a science teacher or, you know, a computer. No, he's STEM teacher. That's not actually a thing, but sure, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not really keen on Stem being the bad guy, but I'm sure there'll be some sort of redemption arc. And by the end of the series, he will also be involved in the music at some point.
But no. So what was your overall thoughts? Like, are you going to carry on with the series or is that you done?
It really depends on what the offerings are. I could see checking out some other episodes just to kind of see where they're going with some of the plot lines. I think we know where they're going with plot lines, but I'm there's that part of me that's like, you kind of want to confirm that you know where it's going, but this is nowhere near a priority for me. This is, you know, this will be after The Mandalorian and Jeff Goldblum and a ton of documentaries and stuff like that. But again, I'm not the target audience. I think the people who are the target audience are going to find a lot to like here. And I suspect that it will in fact be a pretty big driver for initial Disney Plus subscriptions.
Well, it's kind of like really like the only, you've only really got that and The Mandalorian is like the two main drama led series at the minute. They're originals. So I think that one's, is it 10 episodes? I think it is. It's a little bit longer than The Mandalorian. I mean, I'll be honest, I didn't actually sit through, I watched on Disney Plus this week, High School Musical. I watched the original movie. I was a bit like, should I go into the new one like completely blind? Or should I at least have a little bit of knowledge of what it was? I'm like, I thought, no, I'm going to watch the first movie. So at least if they like do the main songs, I'll at least know what they are. You know, that kind of thing of like, you know, all original songs, no, I can't compare. You know, how many people are going to be comparing it to the original? So it's like, no, I'm going to watch the first one. I'm probably not going to bother with the second two. But it's like, okay, it's fine. I can so now I feel like I maybe got like a baseline for what to compare it to, because it feels like a major part of what this series is supposed to be. It's supposed to be different. So I had my own musical, High School Musical thing as well this week.
Yeah, and I think that going in with having seen the original, which I have not, would make this better because it is very much built on the idea of, you know, recreating the magic of the original. That is the entire storyline. That's not a spoiler. That's literally what it says on the tin. This is the high school, supposedly the high school where the original movie was filmed. Everybody in the movie knows that there are points in the movie or in the show where they are watching the movie. Yeah. And of course the teacher is like, well, we're doing this because we've never actually put on a stage play of High School, the musical at the school where it was recorded. That is the entire plot. So I think it does help actually seeing at least the first movie.
Yeah.
There were probably things that I missed. There were probably references I missed by not having seen it.
So no, that was kind of pretty good going. So now obviously we've got all the new stuff coming up next week. On that note, we will be doing a bonus episode next week of the podcast. We're going to aim to do that one on the Wednesday, where we're going to go through maybe just a few of the main things that we've seen from Disney Plus, so like The Mandalorian and any of the movies or anything that we've kind of seen. But we'll be able to do everything because we haven't got enough time to watch all of it. But we'll then have another episode on our normal slot. But with going forward, with Fridays being the big new release day, we'll be trying to watch as much as we can. We're obviously not going to be able to watch everything, but we're going to have our priority lists and stuff. So, it was kind of interesting because I went through all the trailers because now Disney Plus, I've updated in the Netherlands to have trailers and sections all together for... So I sat there with my wife and we're like, right, okay, let's see which ones she's interested in so we can kind of maybe watch them together. And yeah, it's kind of like things like the Imagineering story was one that we're definitely in on. And it's also been confirmed that that one's going to be coming weekly. I thought that it might be dropping the whole lot at once because it was a little bit iffy, but in the statement for the next three weeks worth of content, it did actually have them dropping weekly. That is the one series I think we are definitely going to be watching each Friday. That's definitely going to be very high up on our list. The Mandalorian is definitely number one for me. Jeff Goldblum, I'm liking the fact that some of these are only like little half an hour episodes. It's not going to be not quite as bad to get through them all. But there's a lot going on there. So High School Musical is probably mid-tier for me. It's not the... I'm going to see what it's like, see how I get on with it. It's above Encore and above Marvel Hero Project. But yeah, it's kind of like the line of Mandalorian, Imagineering story. Then we've got the Jeff Goldblum one. And then we're kind of going down. I mean, I think we've only got a few more weeks then they start the one day at Disney, but they're going to be a little bit shorter to watch.
Yeah, it'll kind of be interesting to see what people decide to watch right at the beginning. Obviously, I get to pick what I watch. I don't have to consult with a wife or a girlfriend at the moment. So, yeah, Mandalorian right out of the gate, and it'll be interesting to see where I go from there. Like, because you know, they showed Jeff Goldblum, which is going to be near the top of my list. The first episode is about sneakers, and I'm like, I don't care about sneakers. I realize that there are a lot of people who actually follow sneakers with a passion. Yeah. There's a big collecting community, all that.
My brother buys so many.
You know what? Whatever makes people happy. No, seriously, whatever.
It's the ice cream one that I'm really interested in.
Right.
Having been an ice cream man and an ice cream seller for 30 odd years, that's like been my business. So that's the one I'm interested in. But it's going to be interesting. I don't know how I'm going to act to Jeff Goldblum for like, because normally in movies, you only see him for a few minutes. I don't know how this weird cookie, because I was watching an interview that I put up on YouTube of him yesterday, and I go, oh, he's really getting, I was like, we're going to have to just see where this goes, because it might be too annoying. I don't know.
It's entirely possible. It depends on how much is Jeff Goldblum and how much is documentary, you know, like this is how sneakers are built, this is how they're marketed, and so on. And when I was thinking about that, my initial reaction, of course, was this is maybe not that high on my list of things to watch. But then on the other hand, I'm like, well, you know, I could watch something on the space program or planetary stuff or underwater stuff, sharks and whales. Yeah. I'm like, I already know a lot about those. I'm sure I would learn something new.
Yeah,
I would learn something new from them, but the vast majority of them, I probably already know like 80 to 90% of them. I know nothing about sneakers. I have my running shoes. I have my regular work shoes. I have my hiking boots.
Yeah.
They're comfortable. I don't even know what brands some of them are. I know nothing about shoes. I'm kind of like, well, okay, this is a chance to learn about something I know nothing about. So I did like a flip on that one. It was originally going to be like, yeah, I'll watch this like a couple of days after launch, kind of watch some other stuff. I'm like, all right, well, this is actually a very good way of seeing, will I like the Goldblum experience or not?
See, I love watching documentaries like this, because we have one over here called Inside the Factory, and we have loads of them where they go in and show you how they make stuff. And I always like watching them. I like watching things about like supermarkets and like things like this. So that's kind of pulling me in. It's definitely one of those series, but there's some other stuff that others on like the archive stuff, the National Geographic shows are what I'm really kind of looking forward to. Exactly what my wife said as well. Now there's like the Bear Grylls one. I'm hoping that will be on there at launch. You know, Gordon Ramsay and cooking. There's one where he's going around the world. That looks kind of interesting. So yeah, those are definitely going to be the ones for me. I'll be honest, I think the lineup, I think they by not having Marvel ready, step back. With a lot of people, I've seen a lot of people commenting going, where's all these Marvel shows they told us about? And it's like, yeah, they've not really, I don't think they did a great job. It's like they put out an article this week about, you know, Falcon and the Winter Soldier in production. It's like, yeah, you've had to get that out there before Disney Plus, because I think a lot of people were expecting this stuff at launch. I mean, there's a lot of Marvel fans there's been all this talk about these TV series and they aren't ready. I mean, I still think they should have had them ready for Easter.
They should have had at least one anyway. That reminds me, two small things to talk about. First, we put a pin in talking about advertisements.
Yeah.
And then we went through and talked about High School. Where I was going with that was watching High School, the musical, the series on television reminded me how much I hate ads. And I am thrilled that there are not ads. So yes, please, no more ads, Disney. Maybe this will be the last time I watch live television. That'd be kind of cool, actually. Mm. I mean, just in general. Second thought, completely unrelated to that one, going back to the Marvel talking here. More clickbait articles with people going, you have to be on Disney Plus to get the full MCU because, you know, Loki is going to tie in with Doctor Strange 2 and all. I'm like, that's kind of the point. And two, in as much as any of the Marvel things are required, with the exception of, say, watching Infinity War before Endgame, you can watch almost any Marvel movie or show completely on its own.
Yeah. I think that was a bit of an odd one, because I think it was just the thing of like going, well, yeah, that's kind of the point. was that we've all, the Marvel fans have been moaning about the fact that these movies, these TV series weren't connected enough, that there wasn't any consequences for the movies. And, you know, they were our own separate thing that we didn't have to worry about. That was exactly what the problem was. So of course, they're doing the opposite. You're going to have to watch, like, well, yeah, that's kind of, that was the point. That's why these TV shows are going to have the budgets they are. It's funny, like, because we were sat there the other day, and like, my wife said to us, are you still watching, like, Arrow and Flash? So now I stopped watching them ages ago. She goes, oh, I got bored of them all. And I said, we've got so many, all the Netflix series, we just stopped watching. We just got burnt out. She said, well, they were releasing them too quickly. They weren't good enough. And I was like, yeah, I kind of fell in that line of, like, the rushing, the, again, that binge-watching system just didn't work for us, where we were getting bored watching multiple episodes. And I am really looking forward to kind of having something new, because Runaways was all right, but and Cloak and Dagger was okay, but they weren't kind of quite as good as I was hoping for. I'm hoping for season two of Runaways. That's what I'm hoping will be. We've got season three coming up on Hulu. I'm hoping to be able to catch up on the second one. For some reason, I missed it. And yeah, also maybe as well, finishing off the Cloak and Dagger series with, because I can't help but feel like that, that's, like, this third season of Runaways is going to be the last season of that.
I would not be even the slightest bit surprised that if that was the last one. They're going to want everything on Disney Plus, and they're going to want the Disney Plus stuff to be.
Unless they moved them to Disney Plus and put them on, and like, because Cloak and Dagger, has it been canceled? I thought it had been kind of.
They have announced it as canceled. There will be a special episode that goes alongside Runaways season three, but otherwise it's canceled. But canceled doesn't mean it can't show up on Disney Plus, or that the characters can't show up on Disney Plus. Unlike, say, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which are currently bound by contract, and of course the Netflix show is bound by contract. Cloak and Dagger
are available. They're both available in the Netherlands, except for Cloak and Dagger. That one's not out there.
Right. But we could see those characters pop up again, especially in some of the shows. You could definitely see Cloak and Dagger maybe in one of the magic based shows, because Dagger's pretty close to that. The Runaways, heck, you don't even have to have them. You can just mention them. You can have somebody going, there is a raptor running around Los Angeles or wherever they are at the end.
Yeah, I just kind of think like that. They are, to me, they feel like the quintessential, like, Disney Plus perfect group of kids to put as TV series on Disney Plus. So I wouldn't be at all, maybe even rebrand it as a new series or something like that with them all in. It just feels like a perfect, like, combination of kids, superpowers, Marvel, kind of makes sense to kind of put them all into the one bucket, because it kind of, Hulu doesn't quite fill the right slot either for it, because I still think of Runaways as a real kind of it's still pretty tame.
Yeah, Runaways wasn't that bad in terms of, like, mature content. Cloak and Dagger had a bit more, but not much.
It still didn't really, they hinted at it and they talked about it, but they never really, they didn't really go. It was pretty dark in some ways, but it was not, it didn't show stuff.
Yeah, it was implied darkness or off-screen darkness. There was very little on screen where you'd be like, I don't want a kid to see that or talk about a kid with that. Now, if they had gone a little closer to the comics, it actually would have gotten quite a bit darker, but they decided to back off, which in this case I'm fine with. I think it makes sense. I'm starting to lose the ability to speak. Whether they continue it or not after season three on Disney Plus, Hulu, whatever, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah,
I kind of hope they do, but maybe not necessarily as a Runaway season four. I'd kind of like to see them pop into a different series as guests.
Yeah, just difficult with so many of them. I mean, there's been like lots of talk, like, you know, bringing Matt Murdock into Spider-Man movies as a, you know, that kind of thing, of that could help, but. Depends what they're going to do with them, but they're going to have to wait at least another year, I think, before the Daredevil characters can start popping up. But nevertheless, I think that's pretty much going to wrap up this week's show. So as I said, this is like, it's weird. It's the year episode, the year since we started, and now we're finally getting Disney Plus. It's been a long year. One of those things, when you think back of, like, you know, our first few episodes, you know, like 20 minutes each, because we really didn't have any much to talk about. But it's amazing how much news they've been throwing out there. The PR cycle for at least the last 6 months has been continuous, hasn't it?
Absolutely. Disney knew what they were doing. I mean, we said it all along. Disney was going to drip it out. They were going to let it go. Something to talk about every single week, and it bore out.
Yeah, it did definitely worked out. But yeah, so big thank you for that one. So we're now going into year two, and year two is going to kick off with basically talking about new shows. So it's kind of great to the idea now that we can actually, all these things we've been kind of leading up to, we're actually going to start getting access to. Kind of weird because I've had like, not only have I had Disney Plus for nearly 2 months now, but also I've had Disney Life for the last few years. So this is where that like back catalog stuff doesn't really interest me so much, in the fact of if I want to go watch the animated version of Peter Pan on demand, I've been able to do that for like the last three, four years. You know, it's more about bringing in the Marvel stuff and all the Star Wars stuff because I've gone through all of them already. But the archive stuff is of importance to me, but it's the new stuff and the new things coming forward, which is I'm more interested in, and in filling in the back catalog. Things like High School Musical, going back, and there's a few movies from the, because Melissa, one of the mods on the Facebook group, put up thing about what movies have you not seen from this list of like 70 movies. I'm like, well, there's actually about six there that I should really watch. Things like Treasure Planet and Atlantis, ones I've never got around to watching that I want to do. But the idea of going back and watching, I don't know, Alice in Wonderland or Fantasia, I've kind of had that access for so long that it doesn't really appeal. But I know there's so many people that that's what they want. They want everything on demand so they can watch everything, all the old ones again.
It's just comforting to know they're there. Mm. And having access to it, being able to say, you know what, I may never want to actually watch Alice in Wonderland. I don't know. It's not one of the ones that I really grew up with. I don't have any special nostalgia to it. So I don't see myself actively going, ooh, I really want to see Alice in Wonderland again. But knowing that it's there, knowing that it's available, if I do have that impulse, is great. Just at my fingertips, on my tablet, on my TV, I can watch Alice in Wonderland. Because who knows? I might go to the parks or, you know, at one of the Disney stores, or even just something random triggers that thing where like, oh yeah, the tea party scene with the, you know, the Mad Hatter and all that. That was such a cool scene. I want to see the context around it. And I go see it, especially at the parks. Maybe not Alice in Wonderland specifically, but I know when I go to the parks, you know, while I'm there and immediately after, I'm like, oh, I remember this bit. I really want to see that from the movie. And I always end up watching a whole bunch of Disney movies right after I get back from the parks, and not the stuff that I'm normally like, these are my favorite movies.
But also kind of what the other way is, like when Maleficent 2 came out, I went and watched Maleficent 1. Mm-hmm. Like right now I've just plowed through all 8 episodes of Star Wars before Rise of Skywalker. So that's sometimes like, that is the thing as well of like, doing it. Obviously with Christmas coming up, I know when we were going through the list of movies, Home Alone, you know, obviously being a Christmas movie, you know, that's going to be high on our list watched in December. You know, probably Home Alone 1 and 2 will both be up there to watch. I'm going to watch Avatar again. When that one got done, that was like, yeah. And also I need to watch Tron, because I'm going to got the, for some reason they started dropping like classic trailers, which is fine with me, but yeah, the classic Tron one, and Tron Legacy, at least need to rewatch them before I go off to Shanghai because of the new Tron roller coaster that I want to go on. So I kind of want to remind myself of what that one's all about. But yeah, these are kind of things, you know, that it's nice having all of this access to different content and stuff. But nevertheless, thank you very much for joining us. Like I said, we'll have 2 episodes for you next week. So make sure you do hit that subscribe button on YouTube, or you can subscribe on the audio platforms as well. Remember to go check us out over at whatsondisneyplus.com. You can find us on Twitter and on Facebook. Make sure you follow us there as well to keep up with all the latest Disney Plus news. And we shall see you guys next week. Laters.
Later.